say to you about my understanding of Christian faith and the state of the affairs of the church by saying to you, quoting the words of Romans 12:1, therefore I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, we almost come full circle today because the scripture is going to take us back, at least in terms of theme and terms of content, to what Paul had to tell the Romans way back when. I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you have them, and please stand as we read the passage before us, which will be Ephesians, not Romans, but Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 17. Follow along, if you will. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to the sensuality so that as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way life that you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Christ, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speaking truthfully, and instead speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on while you are still angry. And do not give a devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Some of your translations has corrupt, which is probably a bit more accurate, be it as it may. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ did in you and forgave you. You may be seated. Now, what you just heard from Ephesians is really a replication in part and a delving deeper by Paul into what he had in mind when he wrote the words to the Romans. You know, offer yourself as living sacrifices. The question is, well, what is a living sacrifice? Well, a living sacrifice is a person whose life has been sacrificed and is being given over to God, and we're no longer behaving, or we're no longer thinking, and we're no longer carrying on as Gentile people. We could put pagan in there if you'd like, or, you know, today we could put secularist. See, it's any group of people who've turned their back on God and refuse to listen to them because of their hardness of heart, says Paul. And so it is, this passage of Scripture is so fundamental to understanding what it means to live or to be a living sacrifice. Also in this passage, you have reference to the whole idea of transformation, but it's in new language. You'll notice that Paul has changed the metaphors. The new metaphors are the use of the clothing metaphor, which is taking off the old self like a coat and putting on the new self, a new garment. You know, in the days that Paul lived, garments told more of a story than fashion interest and fashion design. Garments in the time of Jesus spoke about and described where you were from in terms of the class order. If you were a ruler, then you wore a certain type of robe and coat. If you were a peasant, likewise, certain type of clothing told people where you were from and who you are. And so what Paul wants to do is Paul wants to tell us that the idea of being transformed by the renewing of our mind is a process, and it's a process akin to taking off an old suit of clothes and putting on a new one. And what is this old suit of clothes, the old self? Well, is that way of life that Paul speaks about? He talks about the Gentiles. You must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Because all of us are called out of this world, which by its very nature is hostile to God, yes? And God has called us out. Romans 12, verse 1 is the calling. Is Paul officially calling us, saying, leave this old way of life. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Present yourself as a person who, as a living sacrifice, will enter that process of transformation. Process of transformation that will enable you to be the person that God wants you to be. More importantly, I suspect, the person that follows Jesus Christ will become like Christ. One of the things that's so important about this text is this idea of the metaphors, the clothing, taking the old self off and putting the old self on has a number of implications in theology, for instance. You know, some of our Christian friends believe that once we are baptized, all of our sins have been forgiven, so that confession is all that is required to be restored to the image of God, our Catholic friends particularly. But the Scriptures doesn't say that. And Paul does not teach that. Paul teaches that the process of putting off and putting on is a process that's required every hour. Meaning every moment of the day, it's necessary for us to be aware of the fact that we are inclined to behave one way, which is not Christ-like. a call to behave another way, which is, in fact, to represent Jesus Christ. And that process takes time. And it doesn't happen in a vacuum. These words that Paul has spoken here, beginning in verse 17, really are addressed to the group of believers called the body of Christ, which we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, chapter 4. In chapter 4, Paul talks about the body of Christ being an interconnected and woven network of people who become one in Christ, connected in every way to one another. Therefore, everything that you do affects those around you. And so, what Paul has in mind here is that the putting on and the putting off is a community process. The body of Christ. I've long believed that the word assimilation more accurately describes how people become mature followers of Jesus Christ than anything else. It's assimilation. If I spend a lot of time with a group of people who love Jesus Christ and who love the Lord and who are full of the Holy Spirit, over a period of time, I'm going to become more and more like them. Just like growing up in a household, yes? Assimilation. You can't help but grow in the Spirit if your life is spent with those who are full of the Spirit. That's the bottom line here, what we're talking about. But this idea of putting off and putting on also is important to realize that it doesn't happen one time. It happens repetitively. Lest I repeat myself, it is a process. And the process is necessary in order for us to grow and mature. You know, if you have a problem with anger, if you have a problem with telling the truth, if you have a problem with greed, if you have some kind of problem with substance abuse, what you need to know is if you're around other people who are trying to live the right life, then you will probably be heavily influenced in living that life. And so the body of Jesus Christ is a environment where people put on Christ. And they put on Christ by taking off the old self. A description of that old self which is given to us by Paul here in this text. Finally, Paul gets to the point where he says it's important for us to understand the consequences of the choices that we make. Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? One scholar put it this way, if you grieve the Holy Spirit, you grieve God. It's a big disappointment, and yet God is quite capable. In fact, Paul will say at another location that if we confess Christ, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Right? And that forgiveness of sin is going to take place hourly. You know, I had a laugh when Billy Graham was doing his crusades. He used to often tell the story about him and one of the his chief of staff, whose name escapes me at the moment, grew up together. And it turns out that Billy Graham's mother had a strap that hung on the counter with a plaque over the top of the where the strap hung, and it said, "I need thee every hour." In a sense, that's why we need Christ's forgiveness every hour. It's a process, and we're going to fail, and it's important that we get back up. You know, when I was in Seattle, one of the things that happened to me while I was there was very startling and has stuck with me. I was parked at a stoplight, and there was a group of kids crossing the street. Now, obviously, the kids had chaperones, and the young ladies there were trying to keep these kids in line. They were trying to keep them faced in the same direction. They were trying to keep them from beating up on one another. And I thought to myself, isn't that what the church is about? We're on a journey. Christ is leading us, and we've got to be in the same direction, moving in the same direction. Putting off the old self, putting off the pagan desires that are so much a part of what we live with every day that we get, in fact, caught up in them. And what do we put on? We put on Christ. And we trust that God will enable, through the power of the Spirit, to transform our lives and to be able to make us become like Jesus Christ. Next week, we're going to move on to chapter 5, and we're going to talk about holiness. I don't know how many of you are familiar with what used to be called the holiness movement. I had a great-grandmother who was a part of that. The holiness movement grew out of the Methodist Church. And the holiness movement believed in some pretty fundamental and austere, if not extreme, lifestyles. You know, but discipline was very, very important to them. And you know why they did that? Because you know what the word disciple comes from? Hello? Discipline. Right? And so they thought that being a faithful disciple was being disciplined in the way of the Lord, walking in that way. And they were amazing people. They were seen as kind of outcasts and extreme by many in the Christian church at that time, but their very presence in life used to catch people's attention and, in fact, had very, very great influence. In fact, the anti-slavery movement in England grew out of this holiness movement. It was the holiness people in England, from the Methodist Church, who actually were behind the scenes pushing for this liberation of black people to be experienced. Taking off and putting on is the same as transforming your mind. And it's a repetitive process that can be highly effective in churches who together gather and worship and take Jesus seriously. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your power and your gift of the Holy Spirit to enable us, in fact, to become the people that you desire us to be. I just thank you for this congregation, Lord, and their desire to want to follow you. Pray especially for their pastor as he recovers from this terrible heart attack. And we ask and pray, Lord, that you continue to reveal to us this will that you're doing, the likes of which, if we really knew it and understood it, we would be absolutely amazed. Help us to understand that all the time that you ask us to put on this new life of Christ, you do that out of your own love for us. For you sent your Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through your Son. Help us to experience that. Help us to be representatives of that. And may our very presence become contagious in this world in which we live. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.